ZKT, Mark in Brooklyn, no traffic at this time.
Okay, we recognize KB2 ZKT. All right, let me go over to the mailbag and got a few Christmas cards. We'd like to at least say thank you to these people. First person we'd like to say thank you to is Margaret from Brentwood, Margaret and her husband. And just a beautiful card, which I'd be willing to bet, Margaret, I think Margaret's listening, this was turned out on her computer, because you can just see it's a work of art, and Margaret has those skills, so we appreciate that beautiful card. And we also got a card from Franz, and I believe Franz, and his wife, of course. I believe Franz is also with Brentwood, too, all those hospitable people. And the other card that we got is from the gentleman that you just heard, BW2PBH, and B, we certainly appreciate the card. All right, let's pick up a piece of fan mail now. This is from Don from Clifton, who has really been one of our long-time participating members. Let me drop it. WN2RED. All right, it's kind of a long letter, but it's got a lot of nice little pieces to it, so we'll move through it. Dear Ed, hope this letter finds you and yours in a holiday spirit. Yes, it does, Don. It's been hectic around our household. My daughter is getting married this Sunday, he says, December 15th. My father was right, time flies when you get older. Don, I had a daughter get married several years ago. You'll probably think of this not only as one of the happiest days of your life, but also one of the most expensive days of your life, too. Never spent as much money in one day as that wedding. He goes on, once my daughter leaves the nest, I'll be inheriting a spare room that will give me some additional space in my radios. It'll also permit me the opportunity to hook up to an external discone to improve my listening capabilities. And Don, while you're thinking about that, also think about transmitting, too, because I would imagine over in Clifton that you can probably still get a pretty good shot either at the 805 repeater, either from the up 600 input or even possibly from the down 600. Don goes on to say, thanks for all the responses concerning my inquiry about the base locations for Chopper 4 and Fox News Chopper. If you listened to the net last week, you realize that we did bring that question up, and we got quite a few good answers. Also, let me just drop it for a second while I pick up a card here. Got to do something about getting that desk microphone. We also got a very nice card from our good friend R, who's up in Bridgeport. As you know, we think very highly of Mr. R. He's quite the expert in the field. And here's his postcard. He says, free discussion, December 10th, net on the bases of media helicopters. There are drop-off points, pickup crews, tape, gear, talent, etc. Sometimes a videotape, that is raw, unedited footage, will be picked up by a courier on a motorcycle or a bicycle. It's the call of the concerned news director and producers on some material deemed too graphic as is. Or they'll decide to protect it from other stations, getting info off it relayed to their crews. Okay, heliports, he says, New York City favorite touch and goes. In other words, these are the places where the helicopters can sort of touch down, do what they have to do, and go. The first one he mentions is the Port Authority. Hope John is listening tonight. Port Authority at West 30th Street, also known as Air Pegasus, Manhattan. All right. The next one is Downtown Manhattan Heliport, the Port Authority, Pier 6, Manhattan, South Street, near Vietnam Vet Plaza. The Island Heliport, I think this is the one we talked about last week, 34th Street and FDR Drive. Next one is Metroport, whatever they're calling the former Pan Am building between 61st and 62nd and FDR Drive. He says, R goes on to say, at times they visit Long Island landing sites, whatever is convenient, and less air traffic battle. Time is dollars, time is money. And his last comment is, I know WCBS News Radio 88 Traffic Chopper lands and takes off from Teterboro Airport. Some media helicopters may refuel there. You'll hear their calls to the assignment desk. And Don finishes, R finishes up with a note, happy holidays to all the net. WN2RED. Don's letter goes on. While visiting a local pilot shop, they picked up a document printed by the FAA/NOAA called a helicopter route chart. The route chart covers the geographic area from as far east as Grumman Bethpage to as far west as Morristown, New Jersey. The route chart actually charts out the defined routes for helicopter traffic in the metro area. The chart's pretty interesting with all the details that it provides concerning frequencies, routes, airport locations, and landmarks used by pilots. I don't recall the exact price of the chart, but I know it was very reasonable, so if you're in an airport or pilot shop, drop in and ask to see a helicopter route chart. Here, Don goes on, here are some unconfirmed frequencies for Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's. I believe these are for the new wireless sets manufactured by 3M for newer store installation. They are used for communicating with the drive-thru customers. If you're ready to copy, here they come. WN2RD. Dunkin' Donuts, 920.2625. 920.2625 and 903.2625. 903.2625. Going on to McDonald's. 903.5, 920.9625, and the last one, 903.9625, 903.9625. As you can see, they are paired frequencies, and he says, I'm going to plug these freaks in, see if I can hear Mickey D's and the Duckmeisters on these frequencies. Enjoy your Christmas. He is wishing you and yours and the rest of the NLIS crew a happy, healthy, prosperous 97. Thanks for a great net year. So I'm going to say the same to you. Guys like you making a real good net year. All right. Nice letter. Type of fan mail we like to get. Next station with info. Well, Hank, why don't you spell out what you got? I'm sure you got some scanning. And I'm sure you got some short wave. Why don't you just tell us what you got and then proceed with the scanning. N2GCN in the net, WN2RED.
CRA, sir.
Okay, stand by for 1 second, Hank, and let's go over to Frank.
Okay, sorry, Hank. Just one quick question just to clear something up. Ed, can you give me that first frequency again? It was 920 dot...
Okay, sorry if I went too quickly. Dunkin' Donuts, first... frequency is 920.2625, and the second frequency was 903.2625.
Okay, Ed, thanks a lot. I got that. Just wanted to check those out. And just one additional note on those frequencies, that they are in the wide FM mode, and you must have a scanner that you can put it into the wide FM mode or you're not going to hear it. That's the way it is on 900. Back to net.
Excellent point, Frank. Excellent point. Thanks for bringing it up. Let's go over to Hank. Hank, all yours.
Okay, thank you. WN2RED and 2GCN. First off, I want to say to Frank, thank you very much for the information you sent me. Nice semi listing of Metropolitan Suburban Bus Authority. I tried it out. I haven't heard anything on air right so far. I guess they are Trump now, but they keep on trying. The other thing, before I get to my log, I can tell you three frequencies is on 128.700. I did try it out throughout the week. I heard absolutely nothing on air, so possibly that Mustin, Quebec is too far from New York to hear the Concorde. I don't know, but I kept trying from Friday, last Tuesday through today, and heard nothing on 128.700, so we're going to keep on trying to see what we can hear, but maybe too far out of range for us to try it. All right, before I get to that, too, well, I do have, and I also have AM, I also have a product review, or it's not a review, but I mentioned something about all the radios I heard about the other day, or, well, I'll tell you, you'll see what I mean later. Well, here's my information. First off, this is NTGCN. 131.850 is 131.850 in VHF AM at 2:18 p.m. Aeronautical Mobile, the call is KUV3. Kilo Uniform Victor 3, John F. Kennedy Airport. This is a route station for a Lufthansa flight. The whole communication was in German, but that's near the air there. Anyway, that was the 716th. Next one on 127.425, 127.425 in VHF AM at 2:56 p.m. Aeronautical Mobile, this is the one I was telling you about where I can hear the aircraft working the remote site in Virginia. And here's the, full detail. KCDC, KCDC, Washington Center Air Traffic Control Center. Remote site is Wileyville, Virginia, which is south of Chesapeake. And the altitude was high, our USF flight 831. At this point, I can hear the aircraft on the 128.7. I heard nothing at all. It was a dead frequency. And the last one I have for the week is on 129.750. Again, it's 129.750 in VHF AM at 4:17 p.m. Aeronautical Mobile, calls KEA-5. Kilo Echo Alpha 5, New York Radio, Bohemian, New York. This is a route station. I heard KLM, flight 641, calling JFK, his company, obviously. He's asking about the weather conditions from yesterday and how's the visibility at Kennedy Airport. They did have a great deal of delays with his holding patterns, so he was checking out and seeing what was going on. This is December 16th, so once again, I have other information besides Troy's at AM. So thank you. So you went to RED and to GCN, over to you.
Thank you, Hank. Okay, product and AM. All right, any other stations that would like to check into the net at this time, in addition to your call letters, please give us your first name and let us know if you have info, query, or a comment. Anybody else who'd like to check in, please come back.
Ed, JB2YOS, can you put me down for scanner info?
We got you, KB2YOS for scanner info. We will pick you up in turn. Anybody else before we move on? Okay, got a nice note today. You'll probably think this is a teaser, and I guess it is. But this is something which ultimately, meaning like January, will turn into a newsletter article. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, we also, our group, also publishes a newsletter, a monthly newsletter. In fact, we're up to number 72. This is the end of the sixth year for Monitoring Long Island Sound. And what we do with the newsletter generally runs, on an average, about 6 pages every month. And it's got articles and frequencies and so forth, which all tie into the Monitoring Long Island Sound area. We don't give you the frequency for the Podunk, Iowa Police Department or anything like that. It's everything in the NLIS area. We've had somebody who has been sending us, he just finished a three-part set of articles on marine frequencies, which was great. And got a note from him today, and this is the teaser part, and when we get to the numbers and so forth, what we're going to do is put them into the newsletter, because the newsletter goes to a kind of narrower group of people, and if you put something out on the air, you just don't know where it's going. W-N-2-R-E-D. So, here is the teaser part. We're not doing this on purpose. We just want to give you some information that is of some help, at the same time not compromising anything. From our friend, I recently got a chance to get a close look at one of the 800 megahertz portables that Suffolk County Police Department is now using. Fortunately, they will be simulcasting through all of 1997 as of now. And by simulcasting, it simply means that they'll be, when a Suffolk PD signal goes out on the air, it's not only going out in the 800 megahertz range, it's also going out on the crescent frequency range. So our source is pretty good. It says they'll be simulcasting through all of 1997 as of now. Suffolk County PD is in the process of phasing in the NTS 2000 portable. All three Southside precincts, the Southside precincts of 1st, the 3rd, and the 5th, are about finished converting. The process will continue through 1997 until the three Northside precincts, and that's the 2nd, the 4th, and the 6th, until they have completed the process. The Detective Bureau, Special Operations, which is Marine, Highway, and Aviation, will also be completed in 1997. So 97 is going to be a big year for Suffolk PD and for those who want to monitor it. Final point on the radio has 48 channels divided in three 16 channel zones, A, B, and C. And then he goes off and starts to break it down and so forth. And this is information which we are, at least not now, anyway, we are not, once this gets to be common knowledge, then, you know, okay. But right now, we're not putting this information out on the air. We'll do it in a much more circumspect manner. So we do thank our friend who sent the information along. And if you are a participating member of our group, what does that mean? It means that when you check into the net, you generally have info, query, or a comment, or if you're not a ham and you can't check into the net or don't have equipment to do so, then from time to time, on a fairly regular basis, you do send us information. So if you want to get on the newsletter mailing list, and if you want a sample copy, we'll tell you how in a few minutes how to get a sample copy. But if you want to get on the regular mailing list, you really have to be a participating member. Kind of tight on this in 96. Expect this to get even tighter. Okay, next in line of our check-ins is Charlie from Baldwin, KB2UDD in the net, WN2RED. Charlie, all yours.
This is KB2UVV. Good evening to you, Ed, and everybody on the net. Hope everybody's doing okay. Ed, sorry we missed you last week. We had an emergency, job-related. I had a surprise audit from one of our big customers, Lockheed Martin, which was happened last Thursday. Fortunately, it all went well. And I had some homework to take home, so I hope you could use me. Over to you.
Well, if you're going to pass up the net just because you've got some billion-dollar customers, Charlie. Of course.
I think you can.
Had a little double there, but it sounded like VRA's voice. Frank was, Frank, just stand by for 1 second. Was there anybody who doubled with Frank? Yes, Frank, I think you have something to say, and then we'll go back to Charlie.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. Just a rude comment. I was just going to say I'd give him a 65 and pass him anyway. Back to Ned.
Well, he was getting so close to graduating magna cum laude, I just don't think the 65 is going to hack it. Charlie, back to you.
Thanks, Ed, and thank you, Frank. You're all hot. What a pal. Anyway, one more comment on that. You ever heard of a blue-collar type taking work home? You know, ha-ha. Anyway, if I could, before I start, I'd just like to say two quick hellos. I'd like to say hello to R up in Bridgeport, and please forgive me. I'm still getting your stuff together, and, I'm probably going to have to wait till over the holidays. I'm going to be off for a couple of days, and, we'll get everything wrapped up, and I'll have the moving van sending it up to you. I didn't forget you, and I wish you a happy holiday. And just real quick, say hi to Brian, N2VBF. VRA and myself ran into him Saturday over at Sunrise Mall in Massapequa. He's working in a new store over there, and we wish him the best of luck. And it was good seeing him. And basically what I have tonight is, none of these are confirmed, but I'm going to be definitely giving them a listen, and I would recommend them. As you know, with the holiday season coming on, the Postal Service is very busy, right now, and I came across some U.S. Postal Service frequencies for the metropolitan area. And I got 10 of them, and I'm going to put them out. Let me let drop. Okay, first off, we got the United States Postal Service Postal Vehicle Control. Okay, it's four frequencies, okay. And the first frequency is 165.975. 165.975. Second frequency is 168.325. 168.325. The third frequency is 171.175. 171.175. And the fourth frequency is 171.2625. 171.2625. These are vehicle control frequencies, I guess, from when I have a radio on a truck back to the post office. You know, it's my best guess. And, you know, I might want to give them a try. The next frequency I have is for United States Postal Service Operations Supervisor. And that's on a frequency of 408.000. 408.000. Let me let it drop. This is KB2UVB. Okay, the next one I have is for United States Postal Service Operation out of JFK, JFK Mail. And frequency is 409.275. 409.275. Okay, the next one I have is for United States Postal Service Postal Inspector frequencies. And I have three of them. And first frequency is 414.750. 414.750. The second frequency is 415.050. 415.050. And the third frequency is 416.225. 416.225. And last but not least, I have one frequency for United States Postal Service Postal Police, which is on a frequency of 418.300. 418.300. And that'll do it. That's all of them. And like I said, I haven't confirmed anything here yet, but you know, I'd like to hear some feedback, and I'm going to be plugging them in myself, and hopefully, try to have a little time this weekend in the daytime to give them a look-see. And while I got a chance, I'd like to wish everybody on the net and everybody listening, all members of MLIS and their families, a very Merry Christmas and a healthy and happy and prosperous 1997. And I'll give it back to you, Ed, and the net. WN2RED, this is KB2UVB.
KT with additional.
Okay, Mark, stand by for one moment. Okay, let's see. Thank you, Charlie. Even though they're not confirmed, I'd be willing to bet that they are pretty good. So again, to use one of our favorite expressions, anybody who wants to take this as a homework assignment, that is, take the frequency that Charlie has given us and put them into your scanner and just keep them in there for a week, 2 weeks, something like that. And if they are active and so forth, if you can get back and let us know, we'd certainly appreciate that. That's an excellent way to participate in the net. Okay, I think that was Mark, KB2ZKT with additional info. Mark, take it away.
Hey, thanks, Ed. Good evening, everyone on the net. I have two postal frequencies that I can monitor here from my location, about 8 miles west of Kennedy Airport. On 409.025, I hear truck movements, trailers between Kennedy Airport, the bulk facility in New Jersey, I think it is. And on 40.200, I hear people repairing sorting machines and doing all kinds of maintenance on mail handling equipment. That's a pretty interesting frequency to listen to, 410.200. And again, the truck for on 409.025. Both of these are confirmed, and they're pretty busy day and night. Back to net, KB2ZKT.
Thank you very much, Mark. We appreciate that. Just put a big T next to your name on the list here. Stands for participate. That's great. Okay, 409-025, trailer somewhere between JFK and New Jersey, and 410.2, sorting machines and so forth, both frequencies confirmed. Thank you. We really appreciate that. All right, let's move. Well, let me just drop it, see if there are any follow-up questions on Charlie or on Mark. Okay, hearing nothing. Go into the mailbag again, and another stalwart of MLIS has been Russell from Rockaway. And Russ, every month, like clockwork, as they say, sends us a nice little note, and in it there's frequencies, what they're about, and so forth and so on. So he is, Russ's note, he says, on Sunday, November 24th, the day after the Amtrak derailment in Secaucus, New Jersey, on Amtrak frequencies 160.515, I repeat, 160.515, and 160.92, 160.92, Russ says, I heard workers at the scene. Other Amtrak frequencies I heard traffic on were 161.07, 161.07, 160.8, 160.8, and 161.295, and that frequency, Russ points out, is for the Amtrak police, WN2RED. For the Thanksgiving Day Parade, Russ says frequencies he heard used were NBC TV, and that frequency is 450.3875, NBC TV 450.3875, and that was TV audio. New York PD, 476.7375, 476.7375. Sanitation, 453.6, 453.6, and citywide EMS, 478.0125, 478.0125, stand by, Ron, take a slug of water here. Good thing we didn't have the net about 4 days ago. I got my flu shot, but I got something awful close to it now. Now, Russ turns the corner here, and here are my AMDX blogging. I'll tell you what, what I'm going to do, Russ, I know Russ listens in, I'm going to drop this in the file. I have different files here, AMDX files. So instead of jumping ahead on the subject matter, we'll give Russ his share of credit for AMDX at the appropriate time. All right, let's see. Charlie, now we come up to Walter, N1LDH, and Walter, you've got information. Take it away, it's all yours.
Thank you, Ed. I didn't have information, I had a query, and I guess I didn't spell that out very well. I have supposedly LoJack in my car, LoJack. And I have a frequency for that of 173.075. And there was some mention of this on the net quite a while back. And I wondered if anyone could confirm that frequency. I'm not able to hear anything around the car. And so I don't know if the battery's gone dead or if in New York they changed the frequency on. Over.
UVV.
Okay, well, first of all, I apologize. I had written down info and obviously it's a query at that time. Charlie recognized 173.075 sounds good to me. It sounds like it's really right in that range. I have a comment or two later on, not about the frequency so much, but about the system. Let's go over to KB2 UVV in the net, WN2RED. Charlie?
How you doing there, Walter? Walter, I think on LoJack, I don't think anything happens until after the vehicle's stolen. And then it's activated, and that's when you would hear it. Back over to you, Ed.
Okay, Charlie, you're right on that point, and let's go back to Mark. Mark, take it away.
Hey, not too far from Coney Island, there's a heck of a lot of chop shops around here. So anytime you're driving through the neighborhood, just put on 173-075, and you'll hear LoJack going hard and strong. Basically, all you hear is a little digital burst, like, boop. And that's really a very short, quick burst. And, yes, it's not activated. The LoJack transmitter in your car is not activated until you report your car is stolen. Then they punch in a code, which is transmitted to your car. The code matches, it turns on the transmitter in your car, and emits that tone, which the police then track down using a radio direction finding system. KB2ZKT.
That's an excellent summary, Mark, and I don't think I could add too much to that. He's right that once you find out your car is stolen, they call the PD, and the PD, I guess, gets them, whether they turn it on or the LoJack people do or whatever, but it does start, the signal in your car has to be turned on. Is it effective? I have, without getting too deeply into it, let's say I know somebody who is involved in the tracking down, and I have had different chats with them over the years about this, and it is a very effective system. That, I'm not trying to sell LoJack, but once that signal starts burping out, and NASA's got it, I know New York PD has it, and if you look on a police car, it's got, let's say, at least four vertical antennas on it. This is part of the directional finding process, and inside the police car there is a little black box, so to speak, and it has let's say it'll point in the right direction. It'll show how strong or how weak the signal is, and so forth. We have in ham radio something very similar to that. In fact, if you ever listen to 146.64 on certain Monday nights, they have what they call bunny hunts, where one amateur radio operator acts as the bunny, and he transmits, and it's the job of the others to track him down, and they can generally track him down pretty quick. It's a good system to have in the car. I'm glad Mark confirmed the frequency is 173.075. It is something that you might want to put into your scanner, and if someday it starts beeping, you'll know that somewhere in your neighborhood there is a stolen car. Let me drop it for any further comments on this subject. Okay, Walter, would you say that that covers your question?
Yes, that does. Wealth of information. Just ask the question and you get all the answers. So thank you, Mark and Charles and you, Ed. That explains it. I got to report my car missing before I can hear at least my transmitter come on. But yeah, it's a system I've had. The car's 5 or 6 years old, so it's been there a while. And fortunately, I've never had to use it. But thank you, gentlemen. That's great information. YOS?
It's our pleasure. I heard a gobbled something or other. It sounded like Curtis. Is that Curtis?
No, it's Steve, KB2YOS.
Sorry about that, Steve. Okay, Steve, take it away.
You just said something in regard to if you hear a beep on 173.075, that means that there is a stolen car in your neighborhood. So if that's the case, if we're tuning into that frequency, if we were to call the police department, would they send over one of their police cruisers that has the antenna system and the LoJack finder, and they can say, like, you know, like, thank you for letting us know that there's a stolen car in your neighborhood? Would the police come into the neighborhood to check out that beat?
That's a good question. I'll just make an assumption. I'll make an assumption for Nassau PD. I will not make it for New York PD. I think if you are a scanner operator and your scanner is telling you that there's a, especially if it seems to be a clear, strong signal, it probably couldn't hurt to, I don't know if you want to call 911 or if you want to call the local precinct. I think the phone numbers of the local precinct are there, but I don't think it would harm you in any sense, and they might be very thankful. Of course, I might be very naive, too. Let me just drop it and see if there are any other comments or any other answers that people might have for your questions, Steve. Anybody else want to comment on that?
Be all right.
Okay, Frank, thank you.
Something about the LoJack, which I had heard about, was that we know horizontal polarization for single sideband and vertical polarization for vertical FM, FM repeaters rather. But there is another type, circular polarization, which comes into play with the LoJack system, which is one of the reasons why you won't hear the tone very far at all. Back to that.
Okay. All right. I think Walter got the answer that he was looking for. Was it worth the installation and so forth, and does it work well? I can speak not from personal experience, but I can speak from somebody else's personal experience that, yes, that it does seem to work exceptionally well, LoJack, and it seems to be very well thought of by the SPDs. All right. Not in the mailbag, I still have some more items, but last week there was somebody mentioned that there was a railroad net on the air, and the information that they gave out was Monday at 8 p.m. The frequency is a Grumman repeater that is 146.745. I think they gave out the call letters of net control, K2QLE. And it was something that I made a note of because I wanted to listen to it and find out what it was all about. Several months ago, somebody, not a regular on our net, I hadn't heard of him in a couple of months, but he had the thought of setting up a railroad net, and he was looking for a repeater. So anyway, while many of you were out last night carousing at the Limar party or whatever, I turned on 8 p.m., 146.745. Sure enough, there was the Long Island Railroad Amateur Radio Club, LIRRC. And there was Joe, KP2QLE, running that control in a very business-like way. Some of the items they talked about when they dropped it, WN2RED. Some of the items that they talked about was that they have a 100-foot tower in Woodbury being made available to them courtesy of the LIRR. They have a new shack which is being set up in Hillside. I guess that's one of the Long Island Railroad areas in Queens. Possibility of getting some equipment too. A tower along the Babylon line. The group seems to be about 2 months old. They say they're in an organizational state. And it seems to be rail and transit people. That's the mainstay of their group, rail, railroad, and transit people. However, they do welcome non-railroad people. One of the things they have to figure out, it seems, is what's the ratio going to be of railroad to non-railroad. Right. Of HTO sliding down the throat. They're looking for a repeater. They want to get better usage or better coverage west of Nassau. They seem to have a newsletter. An issue is coming out, and they hope to have meetings soon. So if you didn't have the opportunity to listen to their net last night, it is on Monday nights, 146, 745, 8 p.m. It's kind of nice sandwiching. Because at 7:30 on Monday, a lot of people generally check into the 6-4 net, which is Reese. And they check into the Limar net at 8:30, so this The net seems to run close to about 9 o'clock or so. So that's it, and I just made some notes, as you can tell, just in case you wanted to catch it in the future. Let's drop it, see if you have any questions or comments.
B2ZKT, Ed, what time did you say the T-Hunt net was on?
Oh, the T-Hunt, you mean the rabbit, so-called bunny hunt?
Yeah.
I think you said yeah. Therefore, I will march forward. On different Mondays, it's not every Monday. What you're going to have to do, Mark, is listen at 7:30 to 146.64, and that's the Racy's net. Generally, it's a check-in, and kind of business-like. That runs 15, 20 minutes. After that net is over, they then have a bunny hunt. And the bunny hunt is not the most exciting thing to listen to because it's a matter of one station transmitting and the others are listening to him on the input and trying to track him down. They have Dopplers, as they call them, Doppler antennas, which are directional finding. And they're pretty, the 6-4 people, one I can think of is a personal friend of mine, Joe, WH2RBF. I think he's about the best bunny hunter going. He can track down anybody. So it's not an exciting thing to listen to, but various Monday nights, you're going to have to listen at the start of each net or at the end of each net just to see if there's a bunny hunt. And it's 146.64 starting at 7:30. Back to you, Mark.
Very good, Ed. That's something I'd really like to get involved with. It sounds real interesting. KB2ZKT, back to net.
It's the type of thing that really grabs some guys, and I shouldn't say it like this, but, you know, more important than sex, food, or drink, or anything like that, the chase, going after the bunny. And sometimes the bunny is stationary, but sometimes I believe the bunny is on the move. And these guys, I know Joe can, RBF, they can track you down on the move. That's how good some of these guys are. But of course, that's kind of similar to what the cops do with LoJack. It's just that what they love to do, I think, is to track somebody down, track the perp down who's still in the car. That gives you extra points, so to speak, rather than just to find the car parked on the side of the road. Very important to get the car back, of course, but it's kind of nice to be able to pick up the perps too. All right, let's see if there are any other stations that would like to check into the net at 901. In addition to your call letters, please give us your first name. Let us know if you have info, query, or comment. Anybody else who'd like to check in, please come down.
KB2ZNQ, Rich from the Bronx, short query.
Okay, I got you now, Rich. Now that I know. I gotta drink better brand of booze, Rich. That's all there is to it. Over to you, Rich.
It's not related to the current topic, the query yet. Do you just want to hold it off until something comes around?
Okay, Rich, thank you for mentioning that. We'll put you down. We're having a query. We just have a few people in front of you, so you shouldn't have to wait too long. All right. Coming down, we have Ron. Almost missed Ron as we came down to the list here. Ron from Franklin Square, and, let's go over to Ron, WA2BWM. Ron, take it away.
Yeah, roger, Ed, WA2BWM. Just a few items. Yeah, those bunny hunts used to be fun, Ed, about 25 years ago. We used to do a lot of them. I had a 72 Volkswagen Beetle, and what we used to do is we had teams. You had a guy... we didn't have the sophisticated stuff you're mentioning now, but we had the old direction finders. Remember the little box with a loop on it? And one guy would drive, and the other guy would get the coordinates with the loop, and he'd make notes, you know, and degrees and so forth. It used to be a lot of fun. Oh, well, anyhow, on the LoJack thing, I want to mention several weeks ago on the Discovery Channel, they had a program which gave you the lowdown on LoJack, and if everybody keeps checking it, what equipment is used, they showed you the cars, what's in the cars, and how they track the signals down, how they know when a car is stolen, and how it's activated. Very interesting. I could go on and on for that with that, but it was on the Discovery Channel, and like I said, if you, everybody keeps checking their books every Sunday when they get the paper, they may rerun that again. It was really, really an interesting program, at least I thought so, anywho. I was listening on one frequency this morning. As you know, those of you who drive, the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel went into that Easy Pass thing this morning. And there's a frequency that the Port Authority usually uses for the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. It's not really that active, but it, sometimes if you hit it, you'll hear some activity on there. 512 megahertz is the channel. 500. Most of your scanners, that's about the limit they go. If you look in some of your Radio Shack scanners, they go up to 512. That's their limit. Well, you know, this particular channel, this is where the maintenance crews go and the crash crews and so forth in the tunnel. And I was listening there this morning, and it was very interesting. They were having all sorts of problems with the different lanes, and guys didn't know where they were going, as you would expect. So if anybody's interested, you might tune that in tomorrow. It'll probably still be active because this thing is only being its second day. But it was very very interesting listening, at least I thought so anyway. last two items, Ed, I haven't gotten my newsletter yet. You said you got my SASEs. I'm looking for that newsletter. I want to read Frank's article in there. So I wonder if you could comment if you sent them out or so forth. And I have one last item, and I need the net's permission for this, Ed, your permission, that is, because I don't usually stick around till the eyeball section goes. I'm usually in bed listening to the rest of the net because of my work hours. Can I have permission to mention one thing on that?
Okay, let me just interject you. Yes, I did get your SASEs. Our policy generally is to send out the newsletters after we get the SASE. So Frank's article was number 71, and I guess your envelopes came in after we mailed out 71. I just made a note here. I'm going to try to find number 71 because it's hard after we send out the newsletters. We generally have few, if any, left over. That's how tight it is. So let me see if I can find 71. And if I can, I'll drop it into one of your envelopes, and that should take care of it. So back to you, Ron.
Okay, Ed, fine. Can I have permission to mention an eyeball real quick?
Yeah, I think the reason that you're mentioning the eyeball is because you have to get up, and the eyeballs will be coming along in about, I'm trying to gauge it here, probably 15 or 20 minutes. We generally do the scanning, then we generally do the product, and we do the eyeballs. If you're trying to get off and get out, you know, of course, I know you have very early hours. If you want to mention the eyeball now, please feel free to do so. If you're not in any great hurry, we'll pick up you on the eyeball when you when it comes around. Again, I guess about 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, okay, all right, I'll make it real quick because it's something interesting that most, just about everybody in the net seems to really enjoy going to. As you know, I'm with the RC airplanes, you know, with the club and so forth down at Troy Bennett, and I got some information that there will be, I think I mentioned this before, but I just got a confirmation letter. About it again. So it is coming up this year. Tentative dates have not been set, but it probably will be in August, in the middle of the summer. I just wanted to mention some of the things that's going to be different this year. And those of you who bought cameras and saw the other planes last year, besides the bombers and the jets and so forth, they're going to have some vintage biplanes there, which you're going to find very interesting. One of which will be a British SC-5A, which is a biplane that was used in World War One. there's going to be a what do they call those crop duster, otherwise known as a Jenny. You're going to see one of those there, and there'll be several other planes. They're working on, and I'm hoping they're going to be able to get this. There's only about three of these things left. They're working on a Fokker triplane. I don't know if any of you have ever seen World War II, World War I movies with the old German Fokker triplanes, but there's about three of them left from what I understand, and they're hoping to snag one of them in there. So that's about all I have, and if I get any more information, I just want to let you guys know that there'll be a lot of goodies this year, more than you had last year. WA2BWM.
Ron, I assume you're talking about Floyd Bennett Field, and that this would be sometime in the spring, is that correct?
That's your argument.
Follow up on your Brooklyn Battery Tunnel frequency. You move fast, and it's hard to hit a moving target. You said the frequency was 512. Are you talking about like 512 right on the button, like 512.000?
That's your Roger. That's where I got them. That's why I mentioned most of your scanners have a limit. They go up to 512, and that's it. Yeah, that's where I heard them, Ed. As I say now, they're not that active. You know, when all this is over, that they'll probably be dead over there, that channel. But whenever there's something going on, that's the frequency I generally get them on.
Okay. Any follow-up questions for Ron while we still have standing in one spot? All right. Let's move back to the pile of fan mail. And got a very nice note from Howard from Rockland County. In case you wonder why, when we do the call up to the net, we talk about Westchester and Rockland County. Howard has represented Rockland County for many years with MLIS. And the first paragraph is a little personal, so we won't get too deep into that. But he wraps up with, he says, I have a couple of highway frequencies which I monitor. So if you would like to monitor, or if you travel through Rockland County, anything like that, here are some frequencies. WN2RED. First one is Rockland County Highway Department, and the frequency is 37.18. The next one is New York State Thruway Maintenance, and so that includes plows and things like that, which might be very handy in case you're supposed to be driving up towards Rockland County on a snowy morning. You might want to monitor 453.7, 453.7 at the repeater. If you're going off towards New Jersey, same thing, maintenance and plows and so forth, the New Jersey Turnpike Authority, New Jersey Turnpike, and that frequency is 159.18, 159.18, also a repeater. And the last frequency that Howard gives is Garden State Parkway Maintenance. And I would assume that's also plows and so forth and so on. Garden State Parkway Maintenance, the frequency is 156.12. 156.12. Obviously, these are confirmed frequencies because A, Howard says they're frequencies which he monitors, and B, Howard is one of our stalwarts too. He does not fool around when it comes to frequencies and so forth. So, Howard, if you're listening tonight, we certainly appreciate that information. All right, anybody need a fill on any of those numbers? Okay, coming down the list now, we took care of Ron, and now we're down to Shell, KB2. I think it's URB, And Shell had a query on a product or something like that. Shell, if you're still there, please come down.
Late check-in at 2WWM.
Curtis recognized.
Uniform Romeo Zulu, Shell, and Rignantes. I'm very heavily into shortwave listening. And I was wondering if anyone's familiar with that radio chat, shortwave radio, the PX-394, about $1,500. It looks pretty good. It's got a 150 degrees, AM, upper sideband, lower sideband, CW, and all that. And I just wonder if anybody knows anything about it or
okay, Shell, I think you stopped transmitting. That one was kind of tough. But we did get the gist of it, that you're interested in shortwave listening and that you are interested, in case anybody has had any experience or any comments about Radio Shack's shortwave radio, which runs for about $300. That, I believe, was the gist of your transmission. And it sounds like you might be in the car and so forth, and I do not have the heart to say, hey, that product, wait till later on. Anybody who has had any experience with the Radio Shack shortwave radio, the one that runs about $300, anybody has any comments, please come down.
Yes, NCGC, and what type of model, what model is it? Does he know, Professor Gasser, if he knows the model? Thank you, Ed.
Okay, Hank, that's an excellent question. Shell, hope you're still copying us, and I hope we can copy you. Do you happen to have the model number of the Radio Shack that you are inquiring about?
It's a DX-394, DX-394.
Okay, we copied that. Little scratchy, DX-394, back to N2GCM.
Make sure he's on the right frequency, Ed. WWM.
Okay, let me give the answer real quick. Shell, let me put you this way. Forget it. Don't buy the 394. If you buy it, you're going to get yourself a real lump. Back to you, WN2RED, N2GCM, back to you.
CRA comment.
Okay. First of all, I recognize... I love honesty and forthrightness. Okay, VRA recognized. Curtis, okay, let me just mention to Shell. Shell, sometimes, and I do this myself, people think that the frequency is 146.800, and the frequency is 146.805. And that would mean that if you are 600 down, you'd be transmitting on 146.205. So it's possible that you're just a little bit off frequency. That's just a thought. Let me turn over to Frank. Okay, you've heard Hank, and let's say Hank is less than enthusiastic about it. And now let's go over to N2VRA in the net, WN2RED. Frank, I'm going to take about a 30-second run upstairs. My water glass is empty, so please talk for at least 30 seconds.
All right, WN2RED, N2VRA, see if I have it. Okay, well, the World Radio and TV Handbook did a review on it, as they did a review on many other receivers. Bottom line is that the bandwidths on the radio aren't quite wide enough for good selectivity. This is what they're talking about. However, the 394 is a better performer than the 390. They have found fault, the World Radio and TV Handbook, they've found fault in just about every radio that they examined or put in the lab or whatever. If you talk about the Drake SWA, they really knocked that thing. And, you know, that's a $650 radio. If you're looking for basic shortwave reception, now I know Hank's going to say this doesn't have synchronous detection, and it doesn't.